So turning to the panel, and then also just briefly, these are the key dates for the session. We've already passed the first day, and the next key day is going to be March 8th when pretty much a free-for-all of bill filing is over. There's normally 6,000 bills that will be filed by that point. And then the day that we really look forward to is May 27th when they adjourn sine die. Unfortunately, there could be a special session after that because of the issues that they're wrestling with on school finance and property tax, but we will hope that that doesn't happen. So then turning to, you know, what does all this mean? You know, with the 6 new members in the Senate, 28 new members in the House, more Democrats in both the House and the Senate, does this shift in the political alignment impact the views of the legislature towards wind and solar generation? Jeff, you want to start?
Yeah, I think, obviously, I think that one of the things that's happening is not only a shift in party, although I'd point out that most of our wind and solar projects are built in Republican districts. So we have a lot of rural support, we have a lot of Republican support. But there's a party shift, and clearly there's a difference in at least the mainstream of each party on how they address renewable energy. But I think there's more importantly a demographics shift in age. That new legislators, you know, we've got great legislators of all ages, but younger legislators, and just like the public, they understand what we're doing. You know, it's we have tremendous levels of support publicly for renewable energy. But these fresh ideas and frankly younger voices are coming into the Capitol, and they're not beholden to some of the things that we've seen historically around the building.
Charlie, are you seeing that on the solar side as well?
Yeah, I think that was a good point, and I'll also say, we've all worked very hard over the past several years to make solar and wind and other new technology less politicized, in the sense that it should not matter Republican, Democrat so much, that solar and wind are Texas resources. We got tons of them, can deliver cost competitively, and that's kind of a non-political or an apolitical argument. And so a shift in the composition of the body, we would endeavor for that not to be a determining factor in our success, that we should be able to succeed regardless of the political spectrum. But it may very well have an impact in the operation of the body, just in the nature of how it operates and House and Senate dynamics and the nature of what they choose to spend their time on so-called meat and potatoes issues of education and health and property taxes and such. And so to that extent, could have an impact on what we're doing. But, from the time that we got started with the Texas Solar Power Association, we have worked hard to make solar not be viewed primarily through a political lens. And so I think that's had an impact.
Suzanne?
Yeah, I definitely agree with what both of these gentlemen have said this morning, and I would just add that from a TABA perspective, we have member companies that are not only in wind and solar generation, but are operating in kind of all aspects of the advanced energy space. And what we see is that across all 254 counties of the state, we have jobs that are advanced energy workers. So, in addition to the age demographic, this is really an industry that is reaching all parts of the state, and so it's really an issue for all of the Texas legislators to be concerned with.
As you think about this current session and with the shift in the demographics, do you all see this session as being different than prior legislative sessions? And if so, how?
Well, I'm optimistic that it'll will be more of a bipartisan discussion this session. And I think it'll be interesting to see with the kind of rebalancing of the two chambers.
I think that we are seeing something that we have not seen in quite the same orchestrated manner this year that we have seen in the past, and that's a lot of dark money that is primarily fossil fuel dark money. We guess that it's coal flowing into Texas in an effort to really impede what we're doing here, which is a shift that we're seeing globally, which is a shift to renewables and natural gas. And so I think that I think the politics should be a little bit better. I think the public is more and more every day, the public is more sold and understanding what we're accomplishing and how we're doing it affordably. But there are, for the first time in my years here, we are seeing a lot of vast amounts of money flowing into the state. And I think it's contaminating the debate. When I'm concerned about how that plays out at the Capitol. And I think that for the advocates among us, that the stakes are higher and we have to up our game politically to respond. So I'm concerned about that, you know, sort of mystery funding that's flowing into the state.
Earlier, Pat Wood talked about the shotgun wedding between gas and renewable energy. Do you see this kind of dark money as something that's going to undermine that shotgun wedding? And
I think that's the plan. I mean, Texas is the number one coal importing state in the country.